Now, the question, there's only one statement of intent that appeared, doesn't even appear in the bill, but appears in the backup documents that we use, which was the following. Amend classification procedures to more fully utilize space in Alaska institutions. The House had that the number of Alaskan prisoners confined out of state shall not exceed 161, and that number shall be reduced to 125 at the end of fiscal year 1980. But I was wondering if, to start off, you could address that question. Perhaps you could start in a simplified manner to remind some of the committee members of that question, one that I dealt with a lot, but I don't think the other members have.
That's right, Mr. Chairman. I think we have complied. We have indeed complied with the intent of the intent as completely as possible. We have not complied with the numbers. And it's simply a matter of the intent being that, that the Division of Corrections use its own facilities before depending on Federal Bureau of Prisons. And it seems to me on
that is before sending our prisoners outside the state to
that's right.
Federal prisons.
Seems to me that it was perhaps in April that you and I, or that this committee, addressed this matter with me before. At that time, it seems to me that we had some 170, 168 people out of state, and that represented a major escalation for then a few months before. As of today, we still have a large number out of state. I think we have 162 out of state. What we did immediately after that, of course, was to do a survey of all of those who were out of state and to bring everyone back into state that we thought that it could be appropriately confined in one of our facilities up to the limit of our bed space. And we ran out of candidates, both in terms of bed space and appropriate people who could be confined in this state at about the same time, and we leveled off at about 150. We have not been able to go below 150. Meanwhile, we worked on the other aspect of the intent. I think that I believe that the count at the Palmer Dome camp was in the neighborhood of 50 at the time that we had a conversation before, and it is now at approximately 75 and has not gone below 70 in the last month or two. It took some doing, but we managed to get that up. We also, at one point, we were up close to 100 at Eagle River, which is too many. We, I'm afraid, imposed a certain too much tension than was healthy at Eagle River by moving so many people into Eagle River from Fairbanks and Juneau in order to make room for the people coming up from the Federal Bureau of Prisons. We have as many people in work release centers as we have the dollars to pay for them in contract centers at Anchorage. And we have reopened the center at Fairbanks, and I think our first people are scheduled to go in there next week. We are within two or three prisoners of the maximum capacity of our institutions throughout the state and over in some places. We have, we generally run from 60 to 70 prisoners in Third Avenue. In my view, it's really not a good idea to have more than 40 there, but we have no choice at this point. A couple of months ago, we went over 100 at the 6th Avenue facility, the annex. And as a result of that, I was in court on a show cause order, but and as much as we were ordered there to keep our count below 82, we managed to persuade the court to raise that level to 102 because of the unpredictable nature of the weekends in Anchorage. Thus far, we've been able to stay within that order. I would say, Mr. Chairman, that we have succeeded in fully utilizing bed space, all bed space, in the Alaskan prison system, but we have not been able to lower the count any lower than federal.
What's happening to your total count? Your total prison count?
We have, as of today, 790. We had a couple of weeks ago 800. I believe that when I testified before this committee last April, we had about 725. It was approximately 725 at the beginning of last year.
So about 10%.
Yes. And
As the person on the committee that's been the most concerned with this problem and the mover of the intent statements, I'm very satisfied with the efforts on the division's part to try to comply with it. It's a balancing act. At least the number hasn't increased. If you look at the last 4 years before the arrival of Mr. Campbell, we started with 15 prisoners outside, and then we went to something like 40, and then 120, and then 160, and it was, just geometrically increasing. So at least the fact that you're relatively stable from this year to next means that really you've reduced that trend anyway. So, and I know you're making every effort. I have been in pretty close contact with him during the interim, and I know he's making an effort. So I would consider personally that intent has been complied with. I would wonder if you could, I've heard, and we've had a chance to talk, and I was in a meeting with you and Senator Sackett, I think by teleconference or something at one time, we talked about a potential problem that you're having with the lack of money and a need for a supplemental. I really don't want to put any supplementals in this bill, but I've heard from my staff that it's a relatively of an emergency nature, and I'm wondering if you think if this bill, as it currently is, were to receive favorable consideration, in other words, we would let go of the rest of your appropriation by, say, February 15th, would that, and what kind of shape would you be in then?
I don't think that we would have a serious problem if the remaining, or at least a portion of the remaining 25% of the pre-conference numbers were to be released at this point. We are having some cash flow problems at the present time with Roger Lang can address. I think that we would prefer really to testify on the need for numbers or a figure beyond the pre-conference figures at some time when perhaps there would be more time to address it. Our problems are rather prodigious, and but we do think they're legitimate problems. And at this point, we are operating something but holding action, but I think we have it in pretty good shape at the present time.
Well, the question is, I certainly will afford you the time to make your case, but what we've decided to do is treat supplementals, that is, increased level of funding from the pre-conference level, separately from the question of allowing the rest of the short funded for us. So that's what we're before us today, is just a short funded question. However, if there is a real emergency, this bill will pass probably 2 to 3 to 4 weeks ahead of any other supplemental. Now, if it's an emergency situation, you can back that up. I would be willing to, entertain that, and I'm sure the committee would put this on it. But if this would allow you enough latitude to go, to say March 15th, then I'd rather not consider this. That's the question.
Mr. Chairman, if you allow Mr. Lang to correct me if I'm wrong, we've done a fairly major reorganization ourselves, and primarily aimed toward shaping up fiscal management in the division. My understanding now, according to projections we have, is that we do have immediate cash flow problems. The passage of this bill, as soon as possible, yesterday would be fine, would, I think, alleviate our difficulties for several weeks to come, but if Mr. Lang could speak to that, I think it would be helpful.
But if the division were granted the additional 25%, we would be in good shape for the present. The other supplemental that we're looking at is in the neighborhood of a little bit more than $2 million, which is about 4%, which is less than a month's total operating budget But when you get down near the end of the year, you don't always need the money in the pocket where it's appropriated, and that would create problems.
Well, that's another question. One suggestion that we discussed, a couple of us discussed when we were talking about this budget, was that if, you know, we could loosen up the level of appropriation. I see we have quite a few appropriations in the bill, if I'm reading this right. Appropriation, well, maybe we don't. Adult confinement, juvenile confinement. Well, I guess they're not. There's not that many, but we were thinking about combining the appropriations in one larger appropriation so you could shift it where it's needed. But I guess that's not needed, from what you're saying.
Not really.
We don't like to do that, unless it's an emergency.
Right now, we have been able to keep the cash flow sufficient by revised programs. I believe that we've written 8 or 9 revised programs already, primarily moving money out of the personal services object code into the other object codes with the intent of restoring the personal services money when the supplemental gets on. There is one other appropriation this year. For some reason, the local facilities was stuck off by itself, and we have a minor problem there.
I mean, it's not in this bill?
I don't believe that there was a 25% reduction in it.
There was the only way you could fully fund it was to pull it out from underneath all the other divisions' appropriations, and that was put in here at what you anticipated to be 100% funded.
But you're saying now that's not sufficient?
There is approximately $35,000 shortfall based on the contracts that have been negotiated and one that has not been signed yet with one local.
But you have, I mean, there's sufficient time for a supplemental pass before
yes.
that. If you're only going to be out $35,000, that's like the last month or something.
That's true.
Okay, so we can just make sure we bring up that question in the other supplemental. Are there other questions?
One, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Campbell, do you have any problem or anticipate any building problems at the Ridgeview facility between now and June 30? Is that fairly well stable? Yeah. Will the building itself,
that was a problem.
Maintenance-wise, are you anticipating?
Well, we were able to take care of the major problem, the roof on Ridgeview. We ran into a number of difficulties so far as some of the other things. And we're trying to address the difficulty so far as the psychological counseling, instead of by trying to work out an arrangement with mental health. But we really haven't had much success, I must confess, in facing up to or addressing the problems that I think Mr. Crandall talked to me about, you talked to me about, Mr. Campbell.
Would you release that facility? I mean, or is that lease continuing for that facility?
That facility is scheduled to be under lease until 1 year from this coming July, at which time we hope to vacate those premises and have a new facility.
When is that?
1 year from July. This coming July, 18 months.
That is a real concern. I don't know how many of you have had a chance, probably just some of the anchors people, to go through that. Did you go through it?
Yes.
That's pretty sad shape, you know, some of our jails. I don't know how liable we are to court prosecution on that. I suspect we probably are open there too, like we were at 6th Avenue. But the roof was leaking, and what else was wrong? They didn't have enough money for some of the programs, I remember.
Yeah, that was the major thing. I can understand, well, the problem though, provide the program is difficult where you have a limited few, and some of the larger facilities you have the flexibility of offering, of course, before you have a limited few, it puts a terrible burden on you. So I understand that problem. But I was thinking more of the actual physical condition of the facility, if it was, if you felt you could maintain that without adding any more additional help.
I think so, because there are funds available for that. I think our major concern was that, of course, that's an old deteriorated facility, and nothing's ever going to make it very much better, but I think that we're surviving there all right. And the women who are making these complaints, and they're very well-founded complaints, hardly complain at all about the building or the physical situation there, but they do complain about the lack of counseling, teaching, etc. And it's a universal problem throughout the United States. Women are in such a small minority among people in prison in a given jurisdiction that they tend to be treated like small minorities, and they because it's not cost-effective to have the programs in a small facility.
Of the 790 prisoners that we have, 790, how many of them are women?
Approximately 30.
There's a message there somewhere. I don't know what it is. Maybe we should give female hormones to prisoners. Male hormones.
We just have to start respecting our inability to function.
I think I'm over my head already. Any other questions?
We're just slipperier than the man.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ms. Meakin, there was one other statement of legislative intent. And it had to do with the local facilities, and it's on page 122 regarding the Bethel Jail contract. And we complied with that in contracting with the specified amount.
Okay. $376,462 is included in this appropriation shall be paid to the city of Bethel for housing state prisoners in the Bethel City Jail in the future. Okay, you comply with that, but how does that, you know, I know that most of the regional areas like Bethel, I think Barrow was, what are the contract areas?
We have a contract with Sitka, Kodiak, Kenai,
And a lot of them were complaining that they weren't receiving what they considered to be a fair money, you know, large enough appropriation, right, contract. Bethel was one of those, and so it was put in here to guarantee that they got what they thought they needed. You complied with that. But in your opinion, how does that sit now in terms of equity with the rest of the state? What's the situation? I don't know who wants to answer.
Well, from my standpoint, all the contracts but one had been negotiated before I came to the division. One had been negotiated for, I think, the same amount that they received last year. Two were negotiated for more, and then one community still refusing to sign, saying that they cannot live with the contract as proposed by the division, which would have given them the same amount this fiscal year that they received last year. What did they have for the end? And the one problem there by holding back on that contract is we have no authority by which to pay them, so we have not given them any funds for this fiscal year.
So that's still a problem.
You know? Yes.
And that would that be addressed in that $35,000?
That's correct.
Thank you. Is Rick here?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I could do the university while
why don't you?
We've got one area in which we short the three conference committee short funded, and that was 25% of statewide data processing, an amount of $750,000 general fund and $50,000 in program receipts. And I don't have the intent language here.
Is it in this bill?
It's not in the bill.
No.
It's not in the bill. I'm not sure why it's not in the bill, but it was a Freemanized budget.
Are you aware of that, Dave?
Yes.
That's just an oversight then that didn't get in the bill.
Which bill are you talking about?
The Freemanized budget bill?
I had the staff draw up a a bill that was supposed to have in it all the Fremont budget, all the rest of it.
University budget document, we did that during pre-conference, and it wasn't considered a Fremontized bill. We did it as a separate action during pre-conference.
That's right, because it was just piecemeal, right?
That's right.
But it's appropriate to be on this bill.
And the intent language is on page 28 of the University of Alaska budget, under statewide administration data processing service. This component has been funded at 75% of the level authorized by the legislature. The university shall provide information on its implementation of new accounting reporting procedures for compliance with state accounting procedures to the legislative budget audit committee prior to the convening of the 1980 session. When the budget audit committee is satisfied with the compliance program of the university, it shall advise the House and Senate Finance Committees of the need for supplemental appropriation to meet the authorized budget level. And the total excluded was $827,700.
What's the situation, Larry?
Dave, do you want to report on that?
Yep, Mr. Chairman, I received a letter today from Vice President Carter at the university, transmitting a letter from the Department Administration, Dick Smith, where the Department Administration has made its final review of the specifications that the university has for its new system, and he has endorsed them and has accepted the specs as including the requirements of the Executive Budget Act and the Fiscal Procedures Act, which was the concern of the committee. So I plan to, at the next meeting of the Budget Audit, which I think is tomorrow Friday, to advise the committee of that fact so they can forward the recommendation on the funds.
That's so that will be taken up by Budget Audit.
I will advise them on the receipt of letters, yes.
Have the rest of these already been taken up by Budget Audit prior to any convention of Council 577?
I think that's the only one that is in prior to the Budget Audit.
That was a special language in this intent.
I don't know. When we first did it, we said Budget Audit was put in the bill. And I don't know how did these other ones work? Do you remember?
Mr. Chairman, what happened? The request came from you first before we got a bill, a meeting with Budget Audit. So this one popped in rather early. And it's preempted the rule.
Okay, are we in violation of anything then?
No.
I mean, it's...
The main thing was to get a bill in. This came in.
Yeah, okay. Not a problem.
That's why I'm concerned. Jerry brought to my attention that the bill was... We were supposed to submit it. I think it makes much difference. We're doing the same thing anyway.
Yeah, same people. Okay. So that's just a technical thing. You're submitting the bill. Right?
Yeah,
you don't change them or anything.
No, we just... Yeah. The bill submitted.
Is that the same thing you've got then?
Yeah, so it's the same language for the court system. It says there will be an able pre-file for introduction.
Well, were you supposed to approve it?
There is a difference, because I think that the work list
when LBA is satisfied.
There, which would be submitted to the committee.
No, this for the university, that's correct. Right. That's why we decided to use it. This is not a committee as a review.
That's a, in other words, in order to know about compliance, a budget audit right. has to tell us about their opinion of
compliance. Right. 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 Yeah, right.
But
on the others, there was no compliance required except what they would
in any event, I do think it's, I do hope the Budget Audit will take that up and report to us before we report this bill out, because the money is needed by late March for computer operations for payroll for the University of Alaska system, and to in order for them to continue to make their accounting reports to the legislature, they've got to have computer operations.
Well, I think now the question is just whether or not they reported to Budget Audit.
Yeah.
And I think
well, can't we establish that?
Mr. Chairman, it does say when the Budget Audit Committee is satisfied with the compliance program. So.
Oh. Well, I'm going to, Mr. Chairman, recommend to the Budget Audit Committee that I am satisfied, and I recommend that they accept the current compliance standards established by the Department Administration as compliant with our intent and forward that information to the Finance Committee.
Yeah, which means we'll probably concur with his recommendation. So you could, I guess, bypass all that unless somebody really wanted to stick us on the language problem, right? And you might, there may be committee with the Budget Audit Group.
Probably, yes, you almost done it.
Probably, yeah. He's been causing all the trouble for the past few months.
So it won't work to be too easy.
Well, why don't we just, we may not pass this bill out by then anyway. If we're ready to move the bill, Brian just remember to make the motion and we can make a decision then whether or not to put it in on the, on vetting that, that it'll be okay or what.
Put it in our.
Showdown.
Yeah, right. Okay, now, I've got a huge list of supplemental requests from the university, and most of them are not appropriate for this bill. There are, there is one area, though, that I would like to bring up at this time and leave it up to your discretion. We made two mistakes on the Fairbanks budget. One of them was in the travel area. When we cut 25% of travel, we cut 25% of all travel, not just 25% of general fund travel. As a result, since 75% of their travel is not general fund, we ended up cutting their entire general fund travel budget. I think we ought to rectify that. And whether we do it in this bill or in a later bill, I'll leave to your discretion. The second one, another computer mistake apparently, they transferred a line item from $11,000 from commodities to contractual from one year to the next. They decided it really was more appropriate in the contractual budget. We took the lower number from the contractual from the previous year and the lower number from commodities from this year, so the $11,000 transfer dropped completely out of sight. I don't think it was our intent to do that, but the computer's intent was
what, how small of an appropriation is that one?
It's in the student services budget, and it has created a problem for us.
Well, I mean, the question is, you know, the timing.
The timing is not critical on it.
Not critical yet. Obviously, something we didn't mean to do.
And
so
the third one was when we cut out miscellaneous in University of Alaska Fairbanks, we cut out their commencement activity, $7,100. A big amount, and I would hope that we fund that in time for the commencement activity.
Which is when?
May, early May.
Usually the first week in May, I think. Yeah. Second week in May.
Those all seem reasonable. I'm just hoping that, see, I would like to do all those in a normal supplemental process.
Fine.
Rather than this one. Because
okay.
Just under Mr. When we cut travel, is it across the board, both general fund and federal?
The attempt was a
yes.
Especially at the University of Temple, that we not cut anything other than general fund and some student fee supported programs. And in some cases, I found that after we've made the actions, because we weren't able to identify it appropriately, that some federal fund money was reduced in that action. That's what Brian is speaking to.
So the only
item
that
25% of the 25% that is general fund, which would have been.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, the only item on the university for this one will be the $827,000 computer operation.
I think we can assume that you want that as an amendment or committee substitute?
It's committee substitute.
I think we can assume that in a committee substitute, and we'll pull it out at the last moment if for some reason it doesn't go through. Actually. Budget and audit is just really judging whether or not they comply. We could still make the decision to give it to them even though they didn't comply, although of course we wouldn't want to do that. Legally we could do it, so we're okay there depending on what the members are.
Right. If the chairman of budget and audit objects to its inclusion, I won't be making that motion.
But in terms of the draft, in terms of getting them drafting, we should include that in.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
What about that 127.04 again? I'm sorry, I didn't quite.
827. And that's for the computer center, computer operations at the university, data processing.
Statewide operations.
Statewide.
Is that the same as what Mr. Irwin was referring to yesterday, or is that different?
Mr. Irwin was speaking to expansion of that system in the fiscal 81 budget request, and what we're speaking to here is operations of the current system this year that was short funded there in the budget process for fiscal 80.
The current system.
Fiscal 80, sorry.
Thank you. DOT?
Mr. Chairman, I have DOT had the most lengthy and 10 series, so the line that we have to do now.
Thank you.
When you say DOT, you mean any road?
Pardon me?
When you say DOT, do you want, testimony on road?
No, not this hearing. This would only be in regards to, their short-funded portions of their budget for last year. Not underfunded, but short-funded. Or else we use this. This is DOT.
Oh.
You got a little name for your office.
That's a nice way of saying.
Partner of trouble.
It's good and bad, isn't it?
Partner of trauma.
Essentially, the response is divided into two parts. The transportation category runs from the first page to the top item on page 4. Following that are statements of intent in the general government category.
Okay, let's try to move the. Okay, let me just run through these, and or feel free to interject if you haven't. Intent. The refusal by the legislature to move certain CIP positions into this year's appropriated operating budget does not abolish those CIP positions. Positions not abolished, I guess that's self-explanatory. Alaska's competitive bid statute, AS 3705230, requires competitive bidding to purchase contracts. There's no requirement that contracts pursuant to which the state earns money, including accession contracts, be subject. This is just a clarification of statute. The Commissioner of Transportation shall ensure that the provisions of AS 1910-170 are implemented by the department and shall report on the implementation of these provisions in the Departmental Budget Commission in the second session of the state legislature. What are those? What are we talking about here?
That's resulting. That's professional services for construction projects. Basically, a professional engineering survey, professional planning work. The statute says over $5,000 is supposed to do more. Any particular item over $5,000 is supposed to be done by a type of consulting group, unless there's certain conditions that allow it.
Okay. So would you can your response would be that then that is it intent to comply with?
Right. There's a group's been set up, met with the appropriate agencies such as the registered engineers and those other groups to work out an implementation schedule, trying to get enough of those people available to do the transportation work. Currently and in the past, almost all buildings work has been done that way, much aviation work. Done that way. Typically, it was highway projects were all designed and all the surveying done in house. The schedule agreed to try and shift that over to the private sector.
Okay. The next one is just the short funding note. Page 2, maintenance operations administration. The department shall reimburse Alaska Railroad not to exceed $390 for operating loss to the railroad due to railroad provision of leisure shuttle service. The department shall analyze the level of service provided and make recommendations for the division and how to confirm the train service in the year and FYDM budget. Your response to that?
Well, we signed the contract in the process of making a payment for the current year.
Are they running that shuttle? Are they running that shuttle?
Yeah. We're running the shuttle this summer. I don't know what the schedule is, but the shuttle, of course, runs and connects with the
Bartlett operating on Valdez.
Oh, right.
But the tourist, and the tourist traffic to close through there.
But,
There's gonna be a consultant was chosen to make a permanent recommendation on the shuttle service. According to the schedule, it's supposed to be all over March.
But it's a money loser, huh?
Yes.
Subsidized.
Basically, the way the contract's typically been written is that the railroad was supposed to provide so many trips, and they were supposed to net their receipts against the cost of operation the state was making out there.
Provision shall include, with the FY81 budget submitted to the legislature, an estimate of the cost to enlarge the Cape Terminal and dock to put it for mainline ferry service. Now, you've got that estimation, right?
Yes, $400,000.
Is it a request, by any chance?
I'm not sure whether it's a request.
Go ahead and make that one.
It is now.
Is that your area? That is.
Yeah.
The division shall include in the FY81 budget submitted to the legislature analysis of improvements in Southeast Ferry Service that would result from construction of a road from Sitka to Rodman Bay. What's the pretend?
What's been the disposition of that?
The marine transportation budget explains the additional hours of transportation that would be available in the ferry system. Basically, Sitka would be able to get almost the same service as the other regions. The problem is, when you get to the cost estimate on that, it's up around $80 million for the total cost of construction of that road in Rodman Bay.
What's the length of that road?
About 45, depending on where you come out.
$2 million a mile?
It's close.
We can build a gold trail out there for $80,000.
But that, you've got that required analysis in you.
Yes.
It's on the next page.
Analysis of services in the marine transportation budget, and there's an estimated cost of the construction on the next page.
Where is it, page three?
Yes, top page.
79, right?
How about cost savings? Is there no cost savings in ferry operations?
I doubt it would be a cost savings. Basically, you serve Sitka more often, you'd improve service. I doubt it would actually be able to reduce the staffing on the vessel.
Well, I don't think about that, but you're increasing the number of runs you can make for present ships.
That's right, Chairman. What really would be accomplished by building the road would be it would give you an extra trip a week by every mainline vessel in Southeast. Then you have to wait for the tide on both coming and going. They can only go through certain scenarios on certain stages of the tide, either ever flow. The area, it's not much wider than the group, the main channel.
Your
cones on the train when you go
taken by helicopter.
That's a tourist attraction.
Okay, next one. Division of Marine Transportation shall implement the recommendations made in legislative audit reports on personnel aspects and on the stewards department. You've done that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There's been a response sent to legislative audit.
So the next one we talked about already. Included within the appropriation for Southeast Region Highways is $40,000 for winter maintenance of the Thornton Bay Clock Road. I assume, since we haven't heard anything, that the road's being plowed.
Mr. Chairman, if I may comment, not only as you recall, we put language in there that would allow any transportation to utilize the money to run the ferry system, which is on the road. Well, they plowed the road, and we are getting a ferry trip out of Cape, so we're making progress.
Yes.
This is the historic piece of intent that actually commenced the Freemanizing style. I think it's important that the committee, when it passes historic milestones,
thorn in your sight.
Yes.
We're all right on that one. Year in a row.
He goes off his response that says that Thorn Bay is not feasible for service.
What happened, Mr. Chairman, you had a privately owned about an 80, 90 foot vessel. It was servicing all the logging camps and doing all these kind of big things. Guys kept raising its prices, and finally it went out of business, and somebody else took over, and we had a real problem with the fire. And I prevailed upon the Marine Transportation to at least make an effort to run the vessel in there rather than into Hollis, you know, change off. And we've been doing it, I think, on a once a month basis, which has been very much appreciated from people in Corn Bay, but the vessel we're running, I'm not giving you a picture of a better vessel, but the vessel we run there is the Chilcat, and if the wind blows more than 15 miles an hour, it hovers in the harbor, it didn't go out. Service is not the greatest, but.
Brian, did you have any?
No.
That was your.
No complaints as far as the department's concerned.
Okay, highways. The division shall conduct an initial reconnaissance study for road and anchors from Northwood Street toward 4th Avenue along the Alaska Road right away. Where did that come from?
Was that?
I don't know why I heard that. The part that goes through Spinard? Is that the deal?
Long story.
Okay. did that happen?
The city is supposed to perform the report. I haven't seen the copy.
The city was supposed to.
The city was doing the study out there.
Okay. Are you satisfied with that?
Well, yeah.
Included within the appropriation for Interior Region Airports is $4,500 to be paid to air taxi operators as a supplemental grant to fund private delivery of mail to Cosnoline. Not say that's what we're for. Cosnoline Lake area.
Yeah, that's the first year, Mr. Chairman. First year request from one legislative. Dale, can you find the place?
What district is that? Yours, Pepe?
That was red.
Swanson. What's the situation there? You don't know.
I don't know if the deliveries have started, but part of the problem with this, you've got to actually get all the individuals to sign authorizations for you to get their mail from the U.S. Postal Service. I mean, you're going to advertise for people to sign those authorizations and then be able to have the price of delivery.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it. Looks like a good
whether there's a meal or not.
Go ahead, man.
That's a great last line. 4,700 trips will be scheduled as soon as we get the authorization. Doesn't make it ever really angry.
One little letter.
How many people live there?
I don't know. We ought to send them a note, though.
Tell me at mail first.
I want to see that on mail service. $20,000 included in personal service to pay two temporary maintenance personnel for 3 months service at each base in Central, mile 127 Steese Highway.
Both of us kind of halfway involved in that one.
You guys satisfied?
Definitely
yes. Japan Airlines plans cargo flights landing in Fairbanks starting in May, and Korean Airlines may land cargo passenger flights later in the year. Should these added flights require increased security, the department may process a revised program for additional funding or request a supplemental appropriation next year. No increase in security has been required to date. You okay there?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. That was a zinger there, so.
I got to dig into that. But this security fence going to get involved in our bush lights?
I don't think I can answer that. So the FAA is basically the organization that decides that. And they haven't come out with this final recommendation.
Yeah. That's what makes the rules.
Thank you.
Well, is it the same regulation?
It could get into a problem, no.
We're having a resolution draft, you know, on that. I think it's the same.
There are in the 81 increased personnel requested for security, quite a large number. I don't remember if there are any Fairbanks, quite a large number requested in Main Street. So I suspect the topic that could be.
On that security issue, two resolutions have already been introduced and are in House Commerce and moving right along.
All right.
On the acreage increase security in general, that is not connected with requirements of rural security or additional flights, but that's connected with it. Currently, the FAA has approved for the state, the airlines directly contracting with private security firms to provide security. The FAA is considering rescinding that special provision for the Anchorage and the other Anchorage airport. And if they did that, then the international and Anchorage would have to have authorization to have expenditures and staff positions authorized in order to take over. That's pretty much a contingency appropriation based on the fact that the FAA has started to approach them and say we're not satisfied with the way this private security is working out.
And the next one's what, the 85% funding?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, this is where they switch over to general government.
One of them is this.
Allison. That's still wrong one.
Oh, it is? Okay. All right. First one is six general fund positions were reduced. Three positions went to. I'm not sure I understand that first one, but evidently, no problem. Huh? Governor's column, position count incorrect, should read, should amend much, no additional action required. The sum of $1.375 million, this allocation to procurement policy to continue the invitation chapter 168 and to provide for commission service and physical inventory of the communities of population in excess of 125 person is available immediately upon approval of this act. The unencumbered and expiry balance shall lapse in the general fund. Could you respond to that?
As part of that procurement policy was established by the legislature some years ago, it said that we're supposed to do a survey of all these communities of 125 or greater. And this was an attempt to get these funds appropriated with immediate effectiveness. Project to start up in spring in Iran. The, as it says in response, 41 of them have been completed, and there's 115 that are still or will be under contract.
Kind of an ongoing controversy, as I'm sure you know. I'd like to see what's going on there. It's also been a problem with some work of the finance committee. I hired under contracts and people that do transportation study in rural Alaska. And I was under the impression that there was this information available already, but in a lot of cases they, I think in terms of air needs, you know, capital needs for air service, they traveled out there and made their own assessments. So, you know, we're just, in some cases we're duplicating because the timing isn't quite right or something. But I'd like to see what you have in there.
Yeah. Some people sitting out there in the room, we were counting you going by or what?
No. This is in House Bill or Senate Bill 222 was the most incredible bill. It did a million different things, including set up the Renewable Resource Corporation. One of the things it did was require, it set up a capital outlay account, and it set up a capital needs assessment for a six-year capital improvement plan, I think was the idea, wasn't it, Ron? And that what they would do is DOT would go out and do a needs assessment. They'd go into all the villages and say, okay, what's there, and what do they need in terms of capital improvements? You know, maybe they need an airport and like that. They'd do that assessment, and then they'd plug that into a capital improvement plan planning process, and it'd end up, rather than just the legislature writing down on the back of a piece of paper what they want, there would be an actual CIP that you could flip through and work on, like, similar to what Anchorage has or the University of Alaska. They both have their own capital improvement plans, whereas the state of Alaska doesn't have that. They just do it on a year-by-year basis.
Where are they? I haven't never seen them.
Well, we don't have them. State does. Well, I think originally there was $3 million appropriated or something like that, wasn't there? And then, yeah, $3 million. And then the additional 1.3. It's been a real expensive project.
Well, where are the reports at?
I haven't seen it. That's what I just requested.
Reports are not going to come out with a list of projects required for that community. They're still under inventory stage. Like, I'll tell you what kind of fuel storage capability is there, whether it's in sewer and water, what kind of electrical capability is there, how much, what percentage of it is being used, what's the price of fuel in that community. It takes each state-owned structure, and typically there's only state-owned structures that are governmental facilities. And you have a little layout of it, a description of it, whether it's wood frame, what type of foundation it has, and such as that. It's a fairly hefty document.
I'd like to see one of these things. Now, how long have we been working on this? I'm sure it's cut down a lot of my work and a lot of argument.
I think it will be very, very helpful to rural legislators, particularly if it ever gets completed. There's the Sea Grant program. You ever see those regional profiles? They did something similar. I don't know if you're utilizing some of that information or not. I think you are.
Yeah.
Sure they are. They're also attempting to come up with a way to make this available through a computer access, so you have a quick way of identifying all of the villages that have a certain characteristics.
Joe?
Will $1.3 million cover the whole 150 projects?
It takes it up to the 115. There's more money requested for FY81 to complete all of the villages.
It says the unencumbered and unexpended will last, but will some of the money be encumbered to do the 150? But there will be additional funds required to complete in the fiscal 81 budget to take care of the whole fund.
Yeah, I think John reminded me that there was $3 million originally in there, but it was reduced to $700,000 in three months or something like that. So it's been, maybe there's been $2 million appropriated.
I'd still like to know what kind of time
you're working on.
Okay, let's move on then. You'll send some of those over to us?
Yes, I'll give you a list of the additional villages.
You survey big cities, we get an Anchorage survey that says 125 are over. Will they survey Anchorage for that too?
Sure.
We have projects in.
Governor's column.
Before we.
I think we're on page 5, top row. The facilities planning and research shall include with the FY81 budget submitted to the legislature schematic drawings and cost estimates for a health center at Tinnick.
No, that's not me. That's Tinnick is the license agreement.
Ernie?
What is it?
Tinnick,
is that near Ernie?
Yeah. What's the trouble?
It says here that they're supposed to submit to the legislature schematic drawings and cost estimates for a health center at Tinnick.
Appropriated $100,000 for it in the process of putting it to construction.
Yeah, we put it on the capital budget.
Good thing we got the schematic then.
That's easy. All you got to do is scratch some lines on a piece of paper and you're in business.
Yeah. What's the situation? I mean, we've got money in there.
We just received the. I just saw the drawing the other day from the architect.
Aren't you guys going in partnership with them on something? If I understood, one of the guys was in town the other day, Norman O'Toole. He's no longer mayor, but apparently they're going ahead with that health center, aren't they?
I think so. The design that they came up with, or the one that I saw, I think was considerably more than $100,000.
I don't know the whole story. I was going to come down and see you guys.
Well, I'm just wondering if you're already building something that we're asking for architectural drawings to come
out. No, that's why it's done through Health and Social Services. Okay. But they didn't want to be doing that.
So you
cut
that.
Okay. We already got $100,000 appropriated. We have a big wall.
Okay, and implementing 168 DOT shall develop a proposal for the use of combined facilities by state agencies, including changes necessary to agency policies and procedures. Is that going on or what?
Yes, there's been a draft of that report, and a final report hope to get by mid-February at the state fair. There was some discussion of that earlier.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Before we move on from planning research, I'm not sure if it's the right, this is the right area, but one of the capital projects for our area was $60,000 for a Yukon River ferry study to do a study of economic feasibility of a ferry from Dawson to Circle. And the idea was we put in the money for the study 1 year and the money for the project the next year, rather than just going ahead and putting in the money for the project and then getting mad at them when they didn't do it because they wanted to study it first. And I got a call this week that they're ready to go out for the RFP for the study, which means we're not going to get a study in time for this legislature. And while there was no intent, it sure seems to me when we put in money for a study by DOT, our intent is that they do the study and not that they take 8 months now to go to the RFP stage. And I guess I'd just like to call it your attention so that in the future, we don't maybe we should put in some specific intent on all study money that we put into it.
But maybe we can see if they can get it in time. Yes.
If the RFP got out, no, it's not. It's not supposed to be going on any day.
I'll see when the response is.
Yeah. Okay, the next one to the top of page six. The account position and all expenses of Wide Bank Link system authorized shall be funded through program receipts. I guess that's where you got that, Sarah? Right? That worked out?
It's in the budget.
It's on 3,000 is for maintenance of television translator at TOPE. Translator's privately owned.
Read your response.
Yeah, the chairman, let's respond.
That was one of the review of right expenditures.
Chairman, we have arranged for the Public Broadcast Commission to do that, to try and do the maintenance. They evidently have some sort of statutory authority to do work on privately owned equipment.
Well, is the problem, so you're going to accomplish it through that RSA?
Yes.
Okay, but it was the problem that Attorney General referred to here, that he doesn't think any riders have any legal force, or is it this particular one's a problem because it's privately owned?
Because it's privately owned, I believe. I don't go back and read the bill. I don't know exactly what the wording was in the bill.
In any case, it's being accomplished. Are you satisfied with that?
Yes, the biggest problem was that when the fact that you run the equipment on top of a mountain, you can't hang up there.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be nice if the other agencies on their response when the Attorney General said you can't do it would come back saying, well, we figured out a way to do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm well pleased with what they've done, Mr. Chairman. That is, there is also a local air performance system part in the area to help maintain that fund.
Skip down to the next one, the appropriation for the television demonstration project. $2 million is determined as follows. Program and operation using this funding information as a guide. So you're following that request there?
In terms of how much we allocated to state maintenance and any transmitters, and how much we're utilizing for the overhead.
How about this tape delay center and management services contract?
That was not included in the appropriation.
That was the WOLD thing, wasn't it?
I believe that was originally.
And went to Public Broadcasting Commission. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Seek alternatives to open-ended state subsidization of television. Report to the second session. What alternative may be available, including combined use of private and public funds, pooling of users, and other alternatives? The planning group is working with education on instruction TV feasibility studies to improve recommendation and sharing across the public. Have you included those recommendations?
They're not included yet.
Department should determine whether any major television network will soon be relaying its programming by use of a satellite or Delta to Alaska. And the extent to which this development might aid in the reduction of cost of public private use. What does that mean?
About it, whether a public, like CBS or something, adopt, put their satellite capability up here.
Okay, so you're just looking into that, it'll be in the same report.
Yes.
Okay, now this next one is just all the different places that were funded with this money, right? Okay, and you said which ones are funded, are there any exceptions? I mean, that's the real question. Now, I don't want to go through each one of these places.
The first large paragraph in response are all receiving. At the time the response was prepared, there was FCC license was required for cell awake and grailing. And some of the communities listed, the equipment was actually appropriated, the funds for the equipment appropriated to public broadcast. And it's hoped that they'll all be getting their service by the end of 80.
What happened to Haynes and Skagway? I went through Haynes and they didn't have the football game on. Well, and I made the mistake of walking over to a table of local Haynes people and saying, hey, how come we don't have a football game on? Boy, they really came on. They blamed on Jim Duncan's incompetence in getting that.
That shows are pretty smart.
Question to Haynes, there's FCC licenses been applied for Haynes.
They got a cable station that they're...
Some of the legal problems.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask that question?
Allison has mentioned that the RCA rates have gone down now after their increases of last year.
Of their interim rate reduction, yeah.
Would that affect the care plan?
I don't know.
You should be getting a refund or something.
No, you gotta make more phone calls.
You get your refund. You get called.
Have to use it for.
You get a tax credit.
You don't get a refund?
No, no. There's no ring for 3 months, so you gotta call it.
No kidding. Joe, you should have been on top of it.
Well, Joe, what? You make those phone calls.
Negotiate the deal. You need to meet up here.
Okay, well, we'll. This telecommunication stuff, we'll have to let somebody else look at and see if they are satisfied.
What's the status on Seward? I don't see that.
Seward?
Yes. They're listed in the intent, but not the response.
Right, I don't see any response.
I need to hear that.
Listen, we'll skip over this, but we'll have whoever check this out. Somebody else. I hesitate to say Fred. State equipment fleet approval is required prior to agency's use of money.
That's my question.
Okay, you check. State equipment fleet approval is required prior to agency's use of private enterprise. Required. I don't think I understand that. State equipment fleet approval. Required prior to agency use of private enterprise for vehicle repair and system. What, how'd that get in there? What's the deal? What are we doing there?
Well, that's, didn't that come about state troopers one time were going outside the highway to Capitol and using
state troopers are authorized for
somebody wants
routine servicing and repairs to get anything that would typically come from the service station. They're authorized to get any major repairs. Under the agreement for public safety, they have to come back to the...
But other agencies were looking at doing the same, that's what it was.
And there's nobody else that's authorized right to do that on the routine basis.
So if you see the coach, how they work, yeah. Is that right, Jim?
So Do you feel you comply with your compliance with that intention?
Yes, sir.
State of Pembroke Fleet shall join these types of policies regarding the use of private vehicle leases to help ensure cost and state of providing public services in Newark. That's the intention of all. Okay, are there any other problems with legislative intent, whether or not it's in this listing with DOT? Leo?
Not so much legislative intent, Mr. Chairman, I was somewhat curious, and this might not be the time to bring it up. There are certain appropriations made last year in the capital budget. Some of those were, what I hear, understand they were taken as exceptions. One of those particular projects that I was interested in was the airport lighting demonstration projects, $460,000 that was specifically outlined in the budget for 20 some odd villages. If you could just tell me what the status is of that funding and where we stand.
Mr. Chairman, we received a request to provide a written response, and their process of drafting it up. But basically, what we're proposing, what's being proposed now, as I understand, is to take that money and use it on a pilot for basically one airport. The proposal was to put in strobe lighting, I think, at these 20 airports for $400,000. And any kind of lighted beacons and such as that would have to be FAA approved. The FAA has said they're not going to approve that type of a lighting system for any sort of a certificated carrier. So even though you had those strobe lights in there, anybody who's flying under a certificate couldn't come into the airport except when it was daylight anyway.
Well, I have to disagree with that. The FAA has certainly, I understand it, I'm a pilot myself, they certify airports to a certain extent, but that to me has no bearing on the budgetary process of legislature. So what I'm trying to say is that we appropriate the money, you know, specifically outlined in the budget, to do that. And if you're going to throw federal regulations to circumvent that issue, I really have a hard time understanding.
Mr. Chairman, I think that somebody from some other unit should be here to explain the exact rationale. We are writing up what our proposal is.
Okay, well, I don't know who asked for that. Was it a Senate member or something?
I believe Jay Hogan asked for it.
I don't know. Did you provide Representative Schaefer and myself with that?
Chairman, I'd like to deliver some of those.
Okay, we'll copy all the 20 minutes.
It was requested, specifically requested, Representative Schaefer and Senator Ferguson.
Okay, well, I tell you, I think in DOT there's a, you know, more than just the legislative intent, there's a whole question of capital projects. And I've, throughout the interim, been called by Malone and you name it, everybody who has their little case to actually grind, as you, I'm sure, are aware. So we'll need to hold this up a little to kind of get maybe a rundown from other people as to what kind of problems they're having and see if we can, to their satisfaction, you know, get everybody on board on it. And I would also wait for Leo's response when you see their letter to you, Leo, that you can tell us what about that.
Mr. Chairman, there's one thing. If this is held up very long, there's going to start to be major problems in rain transportation management. We've already gotten into a situation where we didn't pay to the risk management, which is an interagency payment between two state agencies. The total amount of the insurance bill is over there. If we paid it all, we would run out of funds to make any payments to vendors. Part of that's caused by the fact that there's like 85% funded. The other one is that there's going to have to be a major supplemental in marine transportation to take care of increased fuel costs that occurred in the past year. So.
But what we've done now, of course, we've got all these supplementals in one bill, and if we can't resolve these problems by the time we're ready to move on the bill in a day or two, which hopefully we can, but if we can, what we'll do is we'll split off some portion or all of DOT and hold it back and let the others go through. But hopefully that won't be a problem, and if it gets to be a crisis, and it's the will of the committee, we could let the marine transportation go through and hold the rest of it, some, you know, like that, yeah.
Is that the only area of cost overrun in weight reductions up here?
No. I think there's gonna be cost overruns on repairs by the Columbia and Kaku. Kaku was scheduled to go in for a major overhaul, which is gonna be funded out of capital, so there wasn't any operational money funded for vessel layup. There's also a chance that there's a requirement for personal services supplemental, since they had the Kaku didn't go out of service, it's costing more to operate and do the repairs and everything.
Thank you very much, Ron. We'll, you've got a couple of things that you're gonna send to us, and then we'll, I'll check with the other members of the caucus and see. Hopefully we have a meeting and solve any problems that are still hanging around. Yeah, Rick, you wanna come up to the court system? This one should be real quick, and I know you guys need a long time. I tried to let you know, I hope you didn't come. We can never really control our schedule. We're actually pretty close to it.
I'm Rick Ferrier with the Alaska Court Association.
Okay, let me remind the committee members, we short funded the court system, but the reasoning was there that as a separate branch of government, the governor's office doesn't go through their budget like they do the other budgets, and they just, whatever they request, they hand it to the legislature. We were running short of time and didn't really have the time to go through it as carefully as we thought we should have, given the kind of year it was. So Jim and I, and is another one on the fifth one? We were appointed to a subcommittee on the court system in the interim, and actually the committee employed a law student to go through their budget, and we got a final report, which was very favorable, actually. Over the years, there's been a lot of criticism of the court system for being too wealthy and those kinds of things, and having extra money around, but the report was fairly favorable. And I think the only thing we wanted was the time to take a look at it. So if you have any comments to make on your budget. Just a second.
So as a result, we approved three quarters of full funding for their budget.
Right.
So they didn't have the same restrictions on travel that all other departments.
Okay. Rick, what's been on
the budget was still reviewed somewhat by the legislature, and there were normal cuts in some areas.
Okay, so this is three quarters of formula.
Of what was left.
Okay, fine. That was my main concern, was that we were, you guys were getting up scot-free without whether or not.
This time, Bob.
Oh, he's back there. I couldn't see him. Come on forward, will you, Bob? You can't get away with it that easy sitting back there. What did we do last year with these guys? Did we make cuts and then short fund them, or did we just short fund the governor's budget? You're essentially correct, Brian. They came in with $23,380,000, and we gave them $21,117,000, and then took three quarters of that.
Okay, fine.
So they had a small cut.
Well, it's
$2 million. Yeah. 10%.
Petty cash, wasn't it? Petty cash.
Well, actually, they had how much of an increase over the previous year? That's another way of looking. Wasn't that much? Small increase.
No, they were. And the report is available. I don't know if I sent it to anybody or not. Did they get a copy of the report on the committee membership?
We sent you.
We did.
No, not the courses, the committee membership.
No, we haven't sent it out.
Okay, well, we'll send you a copy of that.
We sent it to the subcommittee.
Yeah. Well, we should send it to the whole committee, and you can take a look at it. It was pretty favorable, and I had a chance to look at it. We didn't have any problems with intent on these people. So the only question was whether or not, you know, they were getting away with murder, and I think it looks like they're running a pretty good shop over there, generally speaking, which was a surprise. Of course, we hired Rick to do the analysis, but other than that. So if there, I might mention that there are some differences in this number and the number we talked about last year. And it's not a significant percentage at all, but there are a few minor differences. But we're running kind of low on time. We can go over those later or something like that. If there are any other, if there are any specific questions on the court system, I can move to these. Okay, thank you. What's that?
Did they get the money?
I would recommend that they would.
And Mr. Chairman, I would, like Thomas said, I thought that the Judith Narrow did an excellent job on the U.S. court. She's a pretty helpful lady.
Even though she didn't like your Court of Appeals.
Right, well, nobody's
Oh, yeah. Rick, are you having any, two questions. Are you having any cash flow problems right now? And secondly, what kind of supplemental in addition to this supplemental are you looking for, if any?
Chairman, I believe our cash flow will be adequate for at least about a month and a half. Some reason, I'm not sure. We'll run out probably in March or April. And we do have one appropriation, so we don't run into problems between we, you know, just keep printing checks. On the supplemental, the only supplemental I'm aware of other than this is in the capital area, you know, the Kotzebue project. The operating budget.
The what project?
On the Kotzebue remodeling project.
Right.
In the operating budget, I think we have it under control this year. We don't expect to have, Mr. Freeman, we don't expect to have any additional calls for attorneys this year. We've got that under control. And to report to the House Finance Committee, we were able to make it through last year. Mr. Freeman's wisdom of slashing our supplemental last year by $150,000 or something, we managed to scrape up enough. It actually did cost us about that much, but we did find it. It wasn't easy, but we did.
Barry, I had full faith.
Sometimes I wish you wouldn't have quite so much faith. In any event, we did make it through, and this year we are doing attorney a whole lot differently, and looks like we have no problem with putting it in our budget. And we have no other areas that we're running over, except the travel to be able to and that's a problem.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask Mr. Barry?
Yes.
In all seriousness, and I know you're serious, but that, as an outcome of the squeeze, did you actually find some improved approach to it because of necessity?
We actually cut back on some expenses in other areas to cover attorneys. We also cut back on some bills as much as we could. So we tried to cut down specifically that area. So our final expenses in attorneys was within about 40,000 to 50,000 of what we had projected. I think we cut it down maybe by 50,000, had to cough up another 100,000 from savings and rest of the budget. I put out a notice to all courts to watch the travel and buying and all that. We were able to save statistically. But the supplemental was about 100,000 short. And then the finance business budget.
I got one question. Right now in Anchorage, I've heard that because you are short a couple of judges there, you're flying them in from Fairbanks. What situation there?
Starting 2 or 3 weeks ago, we began a project of bringing in, I think, funds. This is not a supplemental, but hopefully we can do it with that budget. Bringing in judges from Fairbanks, Juneau, Bethel, everywhere over the next 4 months, trying to add some retired judges, Judge Happ, Judge Willis, to help the Anchorage Court try to get caught up. We now have about, it's approximately 2 year delay in a civil case in Anchorage. And we're coming in this year asking for 2 Superior Court judges for Anchorage to try to alleviate that on a longer term basis. Right now we're trying to catch up.
When you pull from Bethel and Fairbanks, doesn't that diminish their ability there?
Well, we tried to limit, Fairbanks, we limited them to 2 weeks apiece for each judge. Southeast, I think it was 2 weeks apiece. And Bethel, we're going to try to bring in a month, I believe, but in 2 week periods, and then we'll cover Bethel with an acting district court.
But what you really need is 2 extra judges for Anchorage.
For the long run. Right now, we're going to bring in enough to try to get caught up, kind of, but a long run.
I might point out that I have a bill, just coincidentally, and I'm sponsoring that comes to judges in the Anchorage. Thank you.
We appreciate your support.
Thank you.
All right, I was just going to point out that, you know, even though it's only 2 weeks out of Fairbanks, that is 2 weeks that the judge can't be in Fairbanks, so it slows down the rest of the state. We're well ahead of Anchorage.
Yeah, I like the way they've done it because the Anchorage problem then becomes a statewide problem.
Right, so we're
increasing the chances of bill passing.
It will create more problems.
Good move.
Last year, we're pulling the Fairbanks guy to prosecute, as I recall.
Right, so if we have Anchorage judges, we won't bother for them. Something in the Anchorage judges.
In fact, we'd be able to send them out to Fairbanks on leave.
Right, exactly. You're cutting all the hooks. I think I'll get out of here a lot.
Yep, we're finally ready for you. DC, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like the rest of the people from DC to come up because they're all new management people and you should know them.
Bring a couple of your chairs up.
This is Dina Hankins, who's running our entire field operations division. And Bill Publico, who's Dina's deputy. Dale Wallington, who some of you know, is our administrative officer. And Glenn Akins, who runs our management division. And I'm Deb Coles, I'm the new deputy at DVC.
Yeah, I might point out to the committee that there are evidently two pieces of intent, not significant ones. One says appropriation $50,000 for repair of water well at the Looksack.
Did I say it?
Looksack. And has that been accomplished?
We are in the process of doing that with Public Health Service and HUD.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Okay with you, Philip?
Yeah, that from the letter I received, the problem seemed to be in under control and progressing very well. Is that correct?
That's right. And it will be dedicated before the end. Project doesn't get started, so that comes out lost.
Okay, and another one is the Department of Environmental Conservation has requested a report to House Finance Committee concerning what other terminal safety services are available from state and federal agencies. Is that
that's being accomplished. I think Bill Publicover can speak best for that since he used to run the state oil spill program, and he's been testifying before House Resources and working on House Bill 205.
Yeah, we've complete an analysis of it. Basically, it is the comparison between state and Coast Guard regulations on oil terminals. We've also been looking at the total oil pollution style tankers, financial responsibility, cleanup funds, and so forth. We're working on, we should have some kind of an interim report by the end of February and maybe final report.
I think what you get is more than you ask for, but I think when you get it, you'll be glad to wait.
Oral, I might mention that the real reason that this was short funded is not because we had any problem with them in legislative intent, but it was wound up in the land problem, and I think there were regulations. Remember this problem that DEC had about water and sewer or something? I'm having trouble remembering this. That was going to cost $600 million to fix or something. $650 million. Remember that problem last year? And I think Senator Sumner was the one that wanted to Freemanize these, and because of that problem. It's not a problem that, well, we paid a little bit of attention to it, and I know you were concerned about it somewhat. And my request would, would be again to Sally and to you to check that out, and assuming that you have no problem with that at this time, and, you know, that you want to continue to withhold the rest of their budget, then, you know, we can go ahead with it. But other than that, I don't think that this House of the legislature has any concern with any problem with it.
Mr. Chairman, I think if Representative Freeman or anyone else who is interested in the lands issue would like a brief report from Dina, who's, since she runs field operations, a better handle on that. Brief report now. In light of your conversation earlier with Commissioner Resch, you might be interested in that. And then we can provide you any further information you want. And at one point, I think the $600 million figure was somehow associated with DEC, but had nothing to do with DEC. There's a very slight percentage of that which would relate to water and sewer improvements. Unfortunately, it was carried over to.
DEC's only legal concern with subdivisions is reviewing their suitability for on-lot sewage disposal. And if a subdivision is not suitable for on-lot sewage disposal, there are alternatives such as providing a central sewage collection system. And at one time, Department of Natural Resources was actually proposing to fund utilities in some subdivisions that we had said were not suitable for on-lot water and sewer. And I think of the amount of money quoted, I think $20 million was perhaps what they were talking about for water and sewer. We would not be requiring water systems in subdivisions. We have no such authority in the. We would only review a water system if someone proposed to provide one. We do not require water systems in subdivisions. So we only review them for sewage disposal. And to date, we've reviewed approximately 50 state subdivisions. We have denied approval to none of them. We have conditionally approved about 15 of them, and the rest of them have been unconditionally approved. Typical conditional approvals would include, for instance, remote parcels where you anticipate people will use pit privies, which are suitable for use on practically any kind of land. So working closely with DNR, we have been able to review all subdivisions they've submitted to us to date within the 30-day time limit. We have denied approval for none of the subdivisions.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask you a question? I have a feeling when we get into the land disposal program sometime that I have, in the first place, I have problems with the municipalities on the subdivisions, state land disposal programs within the boundaries of the municipality. As the law that was written last year did not allow them to have veto power over their home, which I admit to being a culprit to the best of my ability. One of the arguments that I constantly get back from these people is that the land is unsuitable for disposal. EDC says that, you know, it's not not proper for on-site sewage disposal, and all these kinds of arguments, and that I have a feeling sometimes that I'm being whipsawed back between the municipality and DEC, and which doesn't make me necessarily love either one of them. But I can't really find out. I have a hard time. as an example, you know, the community that I'm from, Ketchikan, you know, when you really look at it, the city of Ketchikan has a sewer system, runs into the bay. The only two that are actually approved to do what the job they're supposed to do is the city of Saxman, federal government building, and the Coast Guard base, federal government building. All the rest of the community for 20 miles south and 25 miles north, they don't have a sewer system. And it's a little irritating to me when we try to have a land disposal program that all at once, the reason we can't do that is because nobody will put up the money to build a sewer system. And DEC says it's not not suitable for on-site sewer disposal. How do I find out who's giving me the runaround here? Is there some way that I can go to DEC and say, you know, what did you say on this lot? Did you actually say, you know, that a 5-acre lot or whatever it might be is not suitable for on-site sewage disposal? Is there a way I can run that down?
Certainly. We should be able to tell you what we've said on any specific parcel of land if it has come to us for review. We certainly can say what we've said.
As you may or may not know, last year, and the bill is still live, sitting probably in a committee, I introduced a bill that would stop the EC's voicing the thing when it got to the boundaries. And you know who opposed this? Municipal people. Again, the feeling that they're whipsawing me between the two of them, and I, you know, it's a little frustrating sometimes. But if there is some way that I can actually come to the department and ask, you know, show me what your recommendation was on this, I'd appreciate that.
We certainly can. We have an office in Ketchikan, and you can either consult them or you can talk to our Southeast Regional office here in Juneau. And I used to be the Southeast Regional Supervisor until last October, so we have that information available if we've actually reviewed the land for suitability.
Okay, any other question? If not, thank you.
Good.
Thank you. I mean, I might ask, Carl, I would ask you and Sally to look at this also and put that together with your recommendation.
I should.
Might not be any problem, but
I should point out if you would like that we do, in a couple of our regional offices, we have already run deficit problems due primarily to actual payments, since they are one-time payments, and those have come through and we have to pay the rent.
Can you close those offices?
Pardon me?
Can you close those offices?
No, we have not. We have not. We are not intending to close any offices until it gets liquidated because it's not all possible. We're running very close right now in a couple of our other BRU components, and hopefully we can make it
What are you looking at in terms of when is the crunch going to come?
The worksheet I have, which is as of January 23rd, covering the last pay period, shows that our air quality section and our administrative services section should just sweep by the next pay period, which we covered up in February 15. There are a couple of other components that are running in trouble in 200s or 500s, and probably can't spend any money on those rates now, as of now. So it's fairly tight. We budgeted for the 9-month period, and we're pretty close to making it. But there are a couple of areas that we may just not be able to.
Okay. Thank you. That means adjournment.